ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to a Sparking the Dream special with Sonny Banks and John Zervanos. We've got a great show here on WWDB Talk 860. So much to talk about. We're going to talk about the law, introduce our fantastic guests and hosts. They're both co-hosting this broadcast. And we're going to introduce an initiative, Sparking the Dream, that is going to be incredibly impactful. And so here we go. First, I want to welcome John Zervanos to the broadcast. John, if you would, first welcome to the show and tell our listeners, remind them, of course, about yourself and the practice.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Hi, Sonny.
Hey, John.
We're a personal injury law firm that does a variety of cases where we represent people who are injured. We have a specialty in representing crime victims and victims of criminal sexual assault. We also do medical malpractice here at this office, which is a challenging area of the personal injury world, where we represent victims of malpractice, medical malpractice. Aside from that, we do your garden variety car accidents and premises cases and construction cases and some products work. So I think that's about a summary, as good a summary as I can give it at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get into kind of like some of the really cool things about the practice. I'm going to get Sonny. Sonny, if you would remind our listeners about Banks Law.
Sure, Joe. Thanks for having me. Thank you, John. I operate a small boutique firm focusing on Pennsylvania workers' compensation cases. We also do Social Security practice, as well as VA benefits and some long-term disability work. But our bread and butter is Pennsylvania workers' compensation cases. We only represent the injured worker. We don't do any work on behalf of insurance carriers, only the injured worker.
And so having said that, John, you talk about representing, obviously, victims of sexual assault, obviously, medical malpractice, motor vehicle accidents to hold. What can people expect, obviously, from when they retain the firm, in case of one of those situations?
I would like to believe, and I know that I personally take great effort in making sure that our clients are communicated with at all times, that they always understand what's going on with their case. And I think it's crucially important for attorneys in this day and age to make certain that there's always a line of communication between yourself and your client. What happens with a lot of these folks is, one, they don't understand how the system works to begin with. So they have their own preconceived ideas of how it works. And one of the biggest preconceived notions that most people have is that the system just doesn't, it's not fair, or it doesn't work for them. And we take great measures to make sure that the client understand how the system works, and they understand the challenges that are presented within their case. I sometimes tell my clients, I don't have to tell you what's good about your case. You got people in your household or in your neighborhood or your friends at work or whatever to tell you what's great about your case and why you should get all this money. My job is to make sure you understand what's wrong with your case so that we go from there and we make sure that we handle the case from the perspective of, well, here's what's wrong with your case, and this is how we're going to address some of those warts, if you will. And by doing that, the clients really gain a great understanding of what it's all about. And then there's no surprises at the end. And I think that's really important. and a message that I certainly stress to attorneys who I do business with, who refer me work, but also to my clients.
And setting expectations from day one, John. You know, one of the issues, obviously, with any case, no matter how stereotypically good they, you know, the client, like you said, the client thinks it is, there's still an ebb and flow. And sometimes, particularly when it comes to medical malpractice, these cases don't just happen overnight. You know, there is a process that goes. Great attorneys like yourself have been through it many times. Talk about the importance of setting expectations. Of course, the communications are so important. But I say that when I talk about expectations, what can the client, not financial expectations, right, but what can the client expect in regards to the process? Because the insurance companies are always fighting back that, you know, they pull all kinds of tactics or delay tactics or whatever. And then there's just a normal, you know, process that can take a couple years. In many cases, it's up to you to make sure that client can actually, you know, is not their own worst enemy, and they can make it from start, you know, a point A all the way to, you know, to the finish line, even if they have a phenomenal case.
Yeah, I agree with you. The setting the expectations in your case from day one is so important, because when you have an opportunity to resolve the case, if you haven't set the client up with reasonable expectations, when you get that opportunity to resolve your case and your client has these pie in the sky expectations or unreasonable expectations, you're going to have a real hard time resolving that case. So, again, I stress to every lawyer in this office, you better make sure that the client understands how the process is going to work. And again, why it's so important to emphasize to them what pitfalls they're going to be presented with and what issues they're going to have to address, so that when it comes time to resolve your case, you're not going to be battling with your client when they come to you and say, well, you told me this and you told me that, and I can't believe now that we have to resolve this case for X when I thought we were going to get Y. It's a terrible situation to be in as a lawyer.
And if I can add, John, I think we also need to stress to our clients that, you know, each case is different. Tend to listen to the street lawyers who, you know, want to give them advice about this and that. You're absolutely right. The focus should be on the weaknesses in the case, not necessarily the pluses.
Yeah, not to be cynical, but oftentimes you talk about the street lawyers. A client will come in and tell you, well, my Uncle Fred or so-and-so got all this money for an injury that frankly doesn't rise to the level of that kind of value. And I'll say to them, this is what I'll say to them. I'll say, now, does that make sense to you? Does that make sense? If you were sitting on that jury, would you give that person that kind of money that you just told me that person received as a result of that injury? And when you throw that back in their face, they're like, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, I mean, a lot of times, you know, stating the obvious goes a long way, and we forget that, you know, that sometimes is your best friend in the legal business.
Absolutely.
Now, guys, I often tell people to call Sonny Banks and John Zervanos, because if that guy who spilled the coffee on himself at McDonald's got $2 million, these guys will get you $10 million in less than in a month, maximum two. Am I off base just a little bit?
I appreciate your confidence in us, Joe.
I got this magic wand, Joe, and I just wave it, and just the money comes in.
That's what I'm talking. I scratched my finger. John got me $11 million just last week. It's a great point. In understanding that, you know, we talk about the ebbs and flows.
Joe, if I can add, because you talked about them setting expectations. I mean, especially in my practice, it's very important because, you know, folks come into my office and they think that I'm going to be able to get them, you know, $1 million. I can't get them $1 million in a workers' compensation case. And primarily because you can't recover pain and suffering damages in a workers' compensation case like you can in the cases that John handles. So I need to set expectations right away and let them know that I can only get them wage replacement benefits, a percentage of their gross pay that they earned before their injury, and payment of their work-related medical bills in a Pennsylvania workers' compensation case.
And in your case, Sonny, when you're setting expectations, we all know when we talk about ebbs and flows, and by the way, we'll get into when the two practices work together, but fact of the matter is that in your area, Sonny, with work comp, and when you're dealing with the work comp providers, probably likely before they walk in your door, they already have been messed with. They've already been beat up, and that's why they're at your office in the first place. But setting people, you know, because you're dealing with their lost wage benefits, which, you know, these everybody, you know, I mean, obviously needs them, and but they often get stopped, and there's all kinds of games that are played. What's that conversation like with you when you're setting expectations so that somebody doesn't take a panic attack? By the way, they'll likely take a panic attack anyway, right? But when you talk to them about the process of, you know, how it typically works with workers' comp.
It's usually their medical treatment that's played with first, because they're required to treat with the company doctor for the first 90 days following their injury. But that's only if the employer provides them with a panel list of six doctors and has them sign a 90-day injured worker bill of rights that advises the injured worker that they're required to treat with the panel or employer's doctor for the first 90 days. If the employer doesn't do both of those things, and they have to do both of those things, they can't do one without the other, then the injured worker is never required to treat with the company or panel doctor.
So before we get into a third-party case, and then we get into our Sparking the Dream conversation, John, contingency fee agreement, okay? Talk about that, because, you know, individuals, let's say, a medical malpractice case, okay? You hear, like, if you're an individual who thinks they have a medical malpractice case, and you're looking through the internet, and you're looking on lawyers' websites, you see all kinds of firms where it says medical malpractice. But the fact of the matter is, we both know that not that many people actually do medical malpractice. You and your firm do it, and do it at the highest level. However, there's a reason why a lot of these firms don't do it. They'll get the case and then they'll refer it. They refer it out. But your firm actually does it. The contingency fee agreement plays into all that, in the fact that sometimes these cases cost a lot of money. And at the same time, there's no way, you know, a regular person could ever afford to retain an attorney like yourself or pay the expenses for, you know, to investigate the case. Talk about what the contingency fee agreement means in your line of business.
The beauty of a contingency fee agreement, and it's nothing short of what I'm about to say. It evens the playing field. It opens up the courthouse doors to every American who wants to bring a case against the most powerful interests in the state, the country, you name it. If you have a contingency fee with a lawyer who can finance and support the case, you don't have to pay a dollar, not a dollar, unless you're successful. And that is why corporate America, the insurance folks, the medical community, Congress have contemplated or tried to come up with a way to somehow restrict the way that fee works. Because they know that if you can, well, you can't legislate it away, but if you can put the kinds of restrictions on that kind of fee arrangement, you're going to unlevel the playing field, and you're not going to have the accountability that you so desperately need in a civil setting. And you're going to have situations where the medical community might not be as careful as they should be. The manufacturing community might not be putting products out there as safe as they should be. And people who have properties and people who drive cars may be just a little bit more careless because they know there's going to be less of a chance for them to be held accountable because people can't afford to hire an attorney. So in that 1.5 minute, 2 minute spiel, everyone in this listening audience should hear those words and say, wow, I get it now. No recovery, no fee. It's not just a hokey saying. It actually really has merit. And it's not just some guy with a big mouth and a nice smile on TV saying, you know, you don't have to pay unless you win. There's a whole story behind it. And it benefits every American in this country.
And I'll tell you what, you mentioned the level in the playing field. You know, I get goosebumps every time I think of the contingency fee agreement. And I say that because, you know, and it steams me a little bit. It steams me a little bit that legislators would want to mess with that, because not only does the regular Joe get the opportunity to get a great attorney like the two individuals on this broadcast, that they could never afford coming out of pocket. The fact of the matter is that you guys as lawyers are in essence doing the case for free. If you lose, you get zero. If you often have to put in large amounts of money to investigate it, to call experts in, some of these cases you actually invest, I mean,
millions. I'll say it for you, millions.
I mean, crazy. And so,
I got the bruises to prove it. I walked out of a courthouse with my tail between my legs, with a client devastated, and we've just put hundreds of thousands of dollars into a case. And every lawyer loses cases. If you haven't lost a case, you haven't tried enough cases.
Right.
And a lawyer that tells you, I've never lost a case, is either lying to you or he doesn't try enough cases.
Exactly.
End of story. But
luckily, your track record is phenomenal.
You have to win most of them, or otherwise you wouldn't be in business.
Yeah, that's why the contingency is so important. I mean, you know, we have a stake in the outcome, just like the injured person. And it's going to make, you know, every attorney in that situation work that much harder to get the injured person the recovery they deserve.
Absolutely. And the contingency fee, it also applies to work comp, right, Sonny?
Oh, absolutely.
So having said that, guys, you know, I mean, obviously, John, contact information if somebody wants to get in touch with you at the firm.
Sure. The easiest way is you just go to SullivanZervanos.com, and or you can Google me, John Zervanos, and you'll find us on the web, because we have a website that goes on for pages and pages and pages. And I certainly don't want to bore your listening audience with all the topics that we discuss. But they'll learn that we practice in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. And we've done cases in other parts of the country. But it's SullivanZervanos.com. You can Google me, John Zervanos. I can give you telephone numbers, but I'm not sure anybody's going to be listening. But it's 215-732-2260.
Awesome. Sonny Banks, contact information?
Thanks, Law, 215-561-1000. And our web address is www.bankslaw.com.
Awesome. So listen, gentlemen, let's begin, you know, the premise of our second part of the show, and that is our Sparking a Dream conversation. You know, this is a big initiative that we are undertaking, and it's one I think is going to make a difference in countless lives. So obviously we want to, you know, obviously, you know, welcome everybody, you know, to you know, the Spark in the Dream conversation. The purpose of actually this broadcast is to actually introduce everyone to what we think is a groundbreaking, life-impacting Spark in the Dream diversity initiative that is going to allow us to utilize the platform of talk radio to literally change lives. Many of our attorneys, you know, who do shows with us have already recorded their Spark in the Dream broadcasts, and they've aired on WWDB. You know, if you're listening to this broadcast, John Zervanos and Sonny Banks, of course, they're dedicating their show this month to this initiative, as well as being participants in it. So having said that, talk radio is the ultimate network and platform, and that has benefited so many of our professionals on our broadcasts. Having said that, I recently was on a broadcast with a number of our fantastic attorneys, and including John Zervanos and Sonny Banks. And I realized that until now, aside from the attorneys on the broadcast, only I had the privilege of experiencing, you know, what goes on on our broadcasts up close and personal. And why should I be the only person to benefit from really a priceless experience? And that's when the seed for Spark in the Dream, the program, was planted. So what is the Spark in the Dream initiative? Well, in conjunction with our nonprofit Advocacy United, we created the Spark in the Dream initiative. By the way, Advocacy United was originally founded as Injured Workers Advocacy Program, a 501c3 in 2013 to serve the needs of injured union workers, a mission that still exists today. But what we wanted to do was expand the initiative. So in 2022, just this year, we wanted to, you know, expand the IWAP initiative, change the name to Advocacy United, to advocate on issues, situations, and conditions that impact the public welfare, working families, and those from underserved and under-resourced communities. And so we're incredibly proud to, and one of the reasons is it gives us the opportunity to utilize the platform of talk radio, which we use every day in conjunction with our nonprofit. So the Spark in the Dream initiative is a program that allows us to use the platform of talk radio to provide aspiring students from underserved and under-resourced communities with the unprecedented opportunity to attend and participate as part of the exclusive Lawyer to Lawyer talk radio platform up close and personal with the attorneys. So having said that, the students attend, participate, and appear on the broadcast. They tell their stories, their hopes and dreams. They get to learn about the attorney's path to success as part of, you know, the attorney segments on the broadcast. They meet and greet and interact with the attorneys, ask questions, get a motivational speech, tour the law firms, get to go to lunch. And really, for many of these kids, for the first time in their lives, they literally have a seat at the table. And we call it as part of the ultimate career day experience. So, and then you know, what's important is, you know, we're bringing one or two aspiring students in to each broadcast, not a group of, in a group setting. And the reason is because we talk about the old, you know, talk radio being such a great networking platform. Well, you bring in 10 people, now you have an audience. You bring in one or two, and now you have individuals at the table being a part of the broadcast, getting to watch a conversation like we just had about two great law firms. And at the end of the day, the students also get to voice their opinions, to ask their questions, and we get to meet and greet them. And so after the what we call the Ultimate Career Day experience, and the seat at the table, we also have internships and jobs opportunities, programs that we're putting together post show, and so it really becomes, in a sense, a meet and greet and an exclusive 1 hour opportunity that really can change lives. And so, by the way, the lawyers also have benefits because the students are going to, they're going to obviously be promoting their on-air appearances to their communities and their schools. The fact that they're going to get a chance to be on the radio and get their kind of 15 minutes of fame. And so the attorneys will undoubtedly get great experience. So one of the things when we talk about the kids and the challenges, John Zervanos and Sonny Banks, is it's often said, kids that are from underserved and under-resourced areas and backgrounds don't have, the contacts. They don't have the relationships, or the connections to open up certain doors. And I've talked about my situation. Each one of us has benefited many ways because of my father, in a lot of sense, yes, he was able to put me in the Ironworkers Union in 6 hours because I got fired from my bartending job when I was 18 years old. I didn't even want to be in the Ironworkers Union. I probably was the last guy that should have ever been in the Ironworkers. But when I got in the union, it didn't take me long to meet guys. It took 10 to 15 years to get in. I got in 6 hours because I had the benefit of a father who was looking out for me. And at the same time, even what I do today, my dad's relationships helped me get my labor show, and my labor and energy show, and all my relationships, the legal radio, everything. The seed was planted years and years ago. So we'll have the opportunity. Many of these individuals never met up close and personal attorneys or successful individuals at the level that you gentlemen are. Okay. It's a very diverse legal community. Many have never communicated with people who look like themselves, who hold high positions at law firms. Minimal resources and occupational connections. No blueprint for success. Okay. And in today's day and age, as we all know, a high probability of getting their dream derailed. First of all, we want them to know they can be and do anything. But even in that sense, getting their dream derailed before it ever even gets off the ground, as they, many get swallowed up by their surroundings, even if it's collateral damage. And with gun violence out there, we read it every day here in Philadelphia. And so this program is about sparking that dream and to making sure that people understand, they get to meet individuals like yourself, hear your stories. Something happened to me, guys, yesterday. It was absolutely incredible. I was at a meeting at La Bus in East Falls. I live in East Falls. A gentleman that wants to do a radio show. We meet. He's in the business community. And at the end of our conversation, a member of the school board was sitting next to us and we didn't know it.
Wow.
She came over, introduced herself, and we went into a conversation, and our conversation, she talked about a lot of my union relationships, Ryan Boyer to Building Trades, bringing kids from trade schools into the unions, getting opportunity. She heard about the program and couldn't believe it. And it really was just uncanny. Okay. And her, you know, her information she gave me, and she put it in our, and we're setting up a meeting, and we're doing all those things. It was just absolutely incredible. In fact, her name was Melody Jackson. She's the work-based learning coordinator to bring students in, you know, onto the shows. You know, her whole thing is to get them opportunities. It was incredible.
Wow, what a coincidence.
Oh my God, it was unbelievable. And so, having said that, you know, we're talking about bringing, you know, our lawyers that have shows, obviously like John Zervanos, Sonny Banks, and a lot of our firms. But also, John and Sonny is going to elaborate on this. This is a joint venture between plaintiff and defense bar. So in other words, we have a lot of relationships, and we had a great opportunity to meet Ted Scherr on one of your broadcasts. Sonny, talk about that, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to invite the defense bar into this, especially, you know, since they typically have more resources than the plaintiff's bar, which will only give the students that participate in the program more opportunities. And that's really what this program is about. You can call it opportunities, you can call it contacts, whatever buzzword you want, but it's about providing opportunities to, you know, the under-resourced and under-serviced kids who otherwise not have those contacts or opportunities to advance their careers.
John, any thoughts?
I think it's great. I mean, the exposure that a kid can get by getting two perspectives is always better than getting one perspective. So if you sit there with the defense bar and you're getting the perspective from the defense, you can only benefit from that, so that when you get to hang out with the guys with the white hats like myself and Sonny, and then you can choose whether you want to wear a black hat or a white hat.
I love it.
But also the fact is it's about also, in a sense, an endeavor that everybody gets the opportunity to be a part of. And when we talked about the defense, Sonny and I talked about, you know, bringing the defense bar in. It really, in a sense, was just to, you know, not only provide another angle, but another example of success. You know, with individuals that, and it kind of expands, you know, the network. So
yeah, even when I,
exactly, even John, when you brought on Ted Scherr and his associate, that was, and I gotta hand it to you. You know, I mean, that was and I think you've done it a couple times. You've brought, I think what John does, he just brings these guys in who he's kicked their butts, and he just wants to, you know, throw them a nice little perk. Yeah, a little bone. Right. Exactly.
That Ted Scherr is a good man. And I liked having him on the show because he really brought a very honest perspective to his position representing companies in that was a very effective presentation on his part as to what his job is. And he's one of the good ones over there.
Yeah, and, Joe, I think it also shows that, you know, attorneys are civil outside of the courtroom. You know, we may go at each other in court, but outside of the courtroom, you know, we're as civil as the next person.
Yeah, it is a common endeavor, and I think it's for the kids.
Yeah, who doesn't want to help kids?
Exactly, 100%. And so, having said that, when we talk about, you know, let's talk a little bit about you know some of the organizations that we're talking about working with now. The school district. And by the way, she has a great relationship with Community College of Philadelphia. And so our conversation, it was unbelievable. You know, work now, that door has been open. Okay. And we were, you know, I'm going to read the list of schools that and organizations that that we are lining up to because the kids, you know, obviously we want, you know, we want the aspiring students that want opportunities and, you know, are looking, you know, to be, you know, inspired. We want a part of that entire, you know, our list of attorneys, very diverse, obviously, all persuasions, and creeds, colors, you know, and we want get kids to see successful people that look like them so they understand. And by the way, so not only so they understand that success is possible at every level, but also, you know, the fact that, you know, they get to listen to their career path and how they did it. And so, you know, and who really gets that opportunity too often? Up close and personal as part of an audience, maybe, but to actually, in a sense, break bread and start a relationship. By the way, a lot of the law firms may be looking for interns. I know we're going to create some great relationships. And so, Melody Jackson and the Philadelphia School District and CCP are going to be one of our targets. No question about it. That meeting is coming. Okay. We have Sonny and I think we had we did a pastor show. You know, we've done a number of shows. One of the individuals that was on that show, Veronica Joyner, who's the chief administrator officer at the Mathematics, Civics, and Sciences Charter School. Phenomenal woman. I had the opportunity to have her on a broadcast. She was amazing. Roman Catholic High School, which is my alma mater, and also I coached high school sports there, high school football. Masterman, suggested by Councilman David O. Central, suggested by David O. and Girls High. Select Catholic, you know, Philadelphia Catholic public and charter schools. We're also talking about colleges, okay, and law schools as well. So we have some programs. Nancy Walsh of TBD Now programs with the Bar Association, and so actually it's the Montgomery County Bar, but she does leadership trainings for not only law firms, but also students. Law students. And so we're going to, you know, take a big swing at this thing. One of the things Sonny's going to do with his weekly program is, you know, it's the Pain and Wellness Hour with Sonny Banks. Once we launch this show, it's going to be, the Spark in the Dream show with Sonny Banks. And so, by the way, the networking with the attorneys on these shows, the opportunities, the benefits that the attorneys enjoy now will maintain and probably exceed, so that's going to be a big deal. We talked about.
And Joe, I just wanted to emphasize, I think the initial focus as far as the students are concerned is high school students, because a lot of right. Bar associations, you know, have things for law students. So I think the real focus of this initiative is high school students.
Absolutely. Having said that, you know, our relationships with the Black clergy, where Sonny and I have done many shows, and so we have a great network of individuals that obviously we're going to bring into the fold, and it's growing on a daily basis. So we're hitting it, as hard as we possibly can, from typically every angle possible. So we, you know, kids, John, you know, the opportunity to sit, you know, and I get the opportunity on a daily basis to sit with individuals like yourself. And, you know, watch the pathway to success and what you guys do on a daily basis is a beautiful thing. But we're also going to, you know, we're going to get attorneys and firms that will be you know, other types of firms and attorneys. You know, we have an injured Rutgers program and initiative, so we get the opportunity to sit here and talk about the contingency fee agreement. But, you know, we'll probably bring in criminal attorneys. You know, we'll probably bring in patent attorneys. Across the board, sure. We get, you know, we're going to, you know, like I said, defense attorneys. And across the board, we're going to be able to expose the kids. By the way, also, along with the lawyer-to-lawyer network and our legal radio, we're going to bring in union leaders who are going to, you know, kids that go to the trade schools. That you know, that's an area where we want them to know that there's another path in regards to education.
Exactly.
Also, business leaders. So, John, one of the things that we're going to end up doing, you and I have done a lot of political radio. We've had the opportunity, you know, recently to bring on the governor-elect. And so Jeff Brown, you know, I'm doing a series with the mayoral candidates with my labor show. And Jeff Brown is somebody who's running for office, and he wants to be involved in the spark for the on the business side to bring you know, business leaders and business professionals in to sit at broadcast, have kids who aspire to go in another direction. So, you know, we're this is a big initiative, but you know, obviously we're lining up all of our ducks before we launch. We couldn't be more excited about 2023 for this program.
And just so you know, John, Jeff's coming on my show, not yours. I'm jealous that you had Josh on yours.
Oh yeah.
I only pleaded and begged for months.
Well, hold great. On for a second. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they believe me, I was on that not around the clock, but I couldn't be, you know, we were very fortunate. And it turned out that the day we did it, John he had to be in what, federal court in New York, right?
I had to be in federal court in the Southern District of New York. And I had a 15-minute window, and I'm literally doing it by Zoom on my phone.
Oh, geez.
As I'm trying to get into a cab. I mean, it was crazy.
Well, you know what?
It was a great show. Came across really well.
It was a great show. And what other so on John's show also, we've had city council people and state senators, Sharif Street, Isaiah Thomas. And then who did we have on? I'm trying to remember the congresswoman from.
Oh, Susan Wilde. Susan Wilde, yeah. From Lehigh Valley.
And exactly. So, you know, we're
unfortunately, unfortunately, she won.
And don't kid yourself.
Tough district.
Yeah, yes. But don't kid yourself. It was neck and neck until we did that radio show.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I tell Governor Wolf.
I should add, you know, and I think I'm saying this correctly. Sonny, I think, told me one time, you know, you got two lawyers here that grew up. I'm a Red Rose City, Lancaster native, and Sonny, I believe, is a White Rose City, York, Pennsylvania native. And here we are. Here we are, the two of us now in Philadelphia. And it might be interesting for the students and some of the young folks that join us to understand how we were able to make this transition from places like Lancaster and York, Pennsylvania, and made a career move and now have offices that are flourishing here in Philadelphia. Sometimes I do scratch my head and say, how did that happen? But it's worked out well.
Yeah, same here, John.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, John, maybe on some of our, when we do, you know, the Spark and the Dream shows with you and the kids, maybe we bring some of the political leaders in. You know what I mean? Give me, at one time, and this is a funny, you know, John calls me as we were going in, we were doing a political show and says, look, the building shut down because of COVID. John lives in the neighborhood. We end up about an hour later, we're in his living room, which, by the way, is an incredible living room. and with Senator Street, okay, Councilman Isaiah Thomas, and two of their aides Okay, yeah. Tracy Hardy and Chris Woods, a great friend.
That was right after the primaries.
Yep, and it was an incredible show. So we have a lot to, you know, obviously to be looking forward to. So
we should also, we should also give kudos to some of the judges that we've had.
Oh, yeah. Right, that's right.
Puerto Common Pleas Judge Tamika Lane, as well as Puerto Common Pleas Judge Giovanni Campbell.
Absolutely. You had David, both of you had David O on your shows.
Yeah, fantastic guest.
Oh, my God. So, we've covered the gamut. And by the way, you know, David has, you know, recommended a number of organizations, you know, academic organizations for Sparking the Dream. So I think what we're going to do is going to be incredibly special. It will add not only to the lawyer and the legal part, but the difference we're going to make in lives, I think is going to be unbelievable. What I'd like to do right now is kind of get into the final stage of the broadcast, and that is kind of, you know, the asks. Okay, obviously, John, we'd love you to obviously to be an ambassador of for the program. We'd love you to be a contributor. We'd love you to participate in the shows with the kids. You know, not only on Sonny's show, but, you know, dedicate a couple of yours. And the real big ask is this: maybe next month or maybe in February, as part of your show, like we're doing right now with Sonny's show, and your show, to host a Sparking the Dream Summit and invite, you know, some of your partners or other associates. By the way, Sonny Banks might be on that list, colleagues from other firms, and your relationships with defense firms, Ted Scherr and his crew, you know, which will help us promote this to the, you know, we're not doing fundraisers at those programs. We're promoting this, and we'll, you know, obviously we want them to, you know, the best way to kind of engage them is to let them be a part of it and let them get engaged themselves. But to bring Ted Scherr and his firm or any other defense firms in, that's really a real big priority for us, because we're trying to promote this program. Every attorney so far that has heard about the program has dove in and has been incredibly supportive. So if we could book, and so when we talk about hosting your own Sparking the Dream, it's a Zoom summit. So when we invite people, you normally we bring them to your office. But, you know, if you'd be, you know, cool about it and would do it, we'd love to, you know, invite, you know, key individuals, you know, your colleagues, anybody from your firm who wants to come, but also, like we said, defense firms, onto a Zoom. It will be a broadcast just like this one, so that we can, you know, expose the initiative to them. We think it is such a big deal. And then obviously we're going to ask you to record a PSA that will air on your monthly show. We can do that at a broadcast. We'll come up with one, obviously, a Sparking the Dream PSA. That's a public service announcement. And, you know, we'd like you, when the time comes, to accept an appointment to be a member of our Sparking the Dream board of directors. Not a real time-consuming board. We'll only do meetings that are Zoom meetings, but it's going to be an incredible impacting, I think, initiative. So how does that sound?
Works for me.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic. You know, what's that?
It's a fantastic. Glad to have John.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, a pretty cool thing. And then what we'll do, John, is we'll just book the, we'll book a, next month when we're looking at your schedule, on your schedule, we'll just book, it'll be a Zoom, and you'll be an inviting guest, except we won't be bringing them to your office. We'll bring them, we'll invite them to a Zoom, and, you know, we'll expose them to the program. We'll inform them, and you know, this is not a hard sell. It's I think it's something that is going to make a difference in a lot of lives.
Okay.
And Joe, you want to tell folks what our target date is to start the initiative?
Well, the target date to take, you know, obviously to start the initiative is February and March. We want to make sure that obviously we have our ducks in order. We, you know,
get the word out.
To get the word out, raise some money. And, you know, it's, you know, we're raising money for Advocacy United. It's a 501c3, which we'll send all the paperwork out. We'll be doing that after the new year. But at the same time, you know, we want to get our ducks in order to see where we can start at. This is a starting point, John. Right. And you know, so, you know, obviously we appreciate, your participation in every way possible. And if that's cool, can't wait to have you on board, brother.
I'll do my best.
We only need you for 7 days a week and about $2 million. Awesome.
There you go.
We got it. Not, you know what? 6 days.
Not a big push.
No. It's an easy push all around.
Yeah. No heavy lift.
Yeah, not a heavy lift. And John, when it comes to, with Sonny doing his show, his Sparking the Dream broadcast, and, you know, depending, you know, like, You may do a couple shows a year where we get the opportunity to invite some of the students over to the firm. Obviously, we're not dedicating your entire broadcast, your monthly broadcast to it, but we'll pick select ones and, we'll still bring in your guests or whatever. You still get the opportunity. But I think one of the things that's important to me is to be able to do something that, you know, and make a difference in things we're already doing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So having said that, I'll touch base after the broadcast. And
it's going to allow students to see how real lawyers operate, not what they see on TV.
All right. So let's do this. As we wind it up, John, one more time, contact information for you and the firm.
Sure. It's Solovan-Zervanos .com. Or you can Google me, John Zervanos. Telephone number 215-732-2260.
Sonny Banks.
Banks Law. Web address is www.bankslaw.com. Phone 215-561-1000.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to WWDB Talk 860 and our Sparking the Dream special with John Zervanos of Soloff and Zervanos and Sonny Banks of Banks Law. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. On behalf of everybody on the broadcast, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.